we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. North London is red, and I got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil? No words.
Tony Adams.
Oh yeah, lovely smile. All I saw, I haven't watched the interviews, but I just keep seeing pictures of him smiling. No matter what, I think he's just doing it to annoy all the other pundits. Graham Souness,
this is me, the whole podcast.
Yeah, it's been me all day, to be honest. It doesn't matter what's happened. Kids can be hitting my ankles and I just go, do whatever you want. Jump all over me. I'm happy. Fantastic. It's nothing like a North London derby win, James, no matter where you are in the league. And it's 3 wins, 4, if you include the League Cup on the bounce. How are you doing, James Johnson?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Yeah. Like we said, can't stop smiling. It's great.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I mean, the only question we really had on the lineup, and I don't really want to discuss the lineup too much because it almost kind of picked itself, other than the one position of Granit Xhaka, which I think we all probably, you know, aired on the side of, yeah, he's going to bring him back in, especially when you saw we basically changed the midfield constantly throughout the last 3 games. Then we went from 4-3-3. I think against Norwich, we played Lokonga and Niles in there. So a lot of changes and, you know, with the new contract.
I think with that new contract that's been given, you have to sort of go like, he's always going to pick him, isn't he? I mean, he's always liked him from the start. Yeah. He's always, if he's available, he's going to pick him. So,
yeah. At least in the immediate future, I would say, yeah, maybe in a year's time when, you know, when we look to strengthen that area again and maybe develop the team a little bit more, maybe he does want to move into a 4-3-3, which would, I mean, if we do move into a 4-3-3 permanently, that would be where you start to question it. But I know a few people have said over the last game or so that maybe we're ready to move beyond, like, Granit Xhaka. I'm not certain the midfield is really there yet, to be honest. So I didn't have a huge problem with him coming back in because I felt it was going to happen anyway. And Neil, like you say, Granit Xhaka, for all his faults, alongside Partey, has been very good, to be honest, hasn't he? You are on mute, Neil. Yeah,
I know. I was just trying to get off mute. Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit kind of, I would like to see the development and the progression of Simba, to be honest. And so, actually, I was slightly different to you guys. I was thinking, he's been doing all right. And I thought that he would be a good foil in the midfield. But to be honest, myself included, so I hold my hand up. I've criticised Xhaka at the best of times and the worst of times, I guess. But I wasn't too worried because I thought, you know, at the moment, this is probably the best we've got. And I thought the players all around him, it may actually be all right. And to be fair, I know it's you can't really compare it, but when he's been playing for his country, he's been absolutely outstanding, as we saw in the Euros. So I thought, is it going to slow us down? I'm not sure. But to be honest, I think no one expected us to see what we saw in that first 45 anyway. I've been completely, I mean, like everyone else, the people I was watching the game with, we were just like mouths wide open. We thought, is this us? This seems like we've I've jumped into the TARDIS and gone back in time. And I'm watching Arsenal of old. I just could not believe what I was seeing. And especially against them down the road. I mean, it's just bliss. I've never seen so much cohesion, togetherness. And you know what? As much as they were playing as individuals, they were playing as a team, as a collective. It was absolutely sensational. And that is how we used to play on a regular basis. And all I want to see is that consistency week in, week out. And I'll tell you what, if we start doing that from now on, being only 5 points behind, we could be higher up the table than we actually predicted at the start of the season. It's only one game. And to be honest, it was only 45 minutes. But But if we can just carry on with that, even 50% of that throughout a full game, you know, I think we can do better than we actually all predicted maybe in the last podcast and what we all felt at the beginning of the season as well. So Xhaka, I thought, I'm not going to single him out. I thought everyone was amazing. I think everyone pulled their weight yesterday. So just a brief summary. I mean, so with hindsight, Xhaka's inclusion was great. And as you guys were saying before we start recording, if anything, his injury, ironically now, was the only downer of the game. And of course, Son's goal, which I don't think should have been allowed because of Xhaka's being bundled over. But there you go. It is what it is. Academic.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get on to, I mean, brilliant to win the North London derby. If we spoke 3 games ago, I mean, we might have thought we won, you know, the Norwich and the Burnley game. But this was, you know, this was huge, James, because if we didn't win this...
Jack, to beat the champions...
They've already won the league.
A month ago, they won the league. To beat the champions at home, that's massive. That's absolutely massive, isn't it? You know?
Unbelievable, yeah. I mean, but James, what was your one takeaway? I mean, the other change that we didn't mention, sorry, was Pepe. Obviously, we saw in midweek how Saka and Smith Rowe sort of ended that game for you know, in the League Cup, even though we were winning, and that, how they were kind of a level above. And Smith Rowe's had, I wouldn't say a bad start to the season, but maybe not quite to the level that we saw from him since he broke on the scene last December. And there's been obviously arguments going back and forth about Odegaard being able to play with Smith Rowe, and he was absolutely fantastic. Before we get into specifics on players, what was your feeling, James? North London derby, huge game. I'm thinking about it all week. I know you boys were thinking about it all week. I was like, oh, if we just win this game, you know, it really makes you look back at the last 6 games in a different perspective. You go, okay, 9 points. We had a dodgy start, but really turned the corner now a little bit. And we've settled and we've almost, you know, we've brought ourselves back into contention. Obviously, it's only 6 games in, but it gives a different feel to everything. Because if you say you beat Norwich, you say you beat Burnley, people are going to go, well, yeah, they're probably 2 of the worst teams in the league. What do you expect? You know, but Tottenham, you know, it doesn't matter what form they're in, it goes out the window. You know that's going to be a tough game always. And so what was your one big sort of, you know, feeling at the end, other than joy and adulation? what did you feel? It was amazing. Like Neil said, there wasn't really a bad player on the pitch for us, was there?
No. So... For me, I always thought we were going to win. I know that's, you know, quite, it's easy to say that when we do win 3-1 and it was quite convincing, but I just looked at it before and everything else and I was just like, nah, I'm like, the manager needs to, I'm like, he needs to win this game because I'm like, there's, you know, there's already that tension there. And I'm like, if he loses this, I'm like, that is another potential nail in your coffin. And, you know, and that game's going to be sold out. There's nowhere to hide. You know, all those fans in that ground would have lynched him pretty much if we'd have lost. I think they'd have gone for him. Because like we've always said, it's much easier to go for the manager than it is to go for the people that are on the top. So, and no, I was really, really encouraged straight away from when Ben White makes that big tackle on Son, like right near the beginning of the game. Neil, you had the Sky on as well. And I know you said you were out when you were watching it, so you probably couldn't hear it as much, but the punditry from Souness, I know he's always hated Arsenal. He used to call Wenger Arsene Winger. So he's never been an Arsenal fan. And obviously Tony Adams, like you said, he's just smile. You know, Tony Adams was trying not to laugh at him because he just was like, whatever, Graham, you know, you carry on. You're just making yourself look silly. So you just keep talking. And Ledley King, you know, I thought he was a great player in his day, but I don't really rate him much as a pundit. And he just had to sort of swallow that his team are rubbish, you know. You don't really want to speak after you get pumped 3-1. But all before the game, Souness and Ledley King were going about, oh, you know, Son's going to rip Ben White to smithereens today. He's not going to have a, you know, Gabriel and Tomiyasu are going to have to help him so much because Son's going to rip him to bits. Son's going to... And within the first 7 minutes, Ben White's just gone crunch. And it's, you know, it's a bit of a bitey challenge, but it was never a foul because he got the ball. But it was just like, you know, we're not messing around today. It's like what Neil said. We're going to talk about them individually, but as a collective, they were so, so good. And do you know what? It's the first time in a long time, and I don't know if it's because we've got a mix of young English players that that have, you know, grown up supporting the club as well as everything else. They know how important that derby is to us. And it was just like it all, the energy like fed through all of them. I mean, Aubameyang, that's the Aubameyang I want to see. You know, we asked if it's still there and we got it. We got it. I'm like, he was pressing for every single ball. You know, watching him last week at Burnley, it's like he couldn't be bothered. But for whatever reason, this game, he's come back, you know, he's come back into Superman again and he wants it and he's pressing everybody. It was just unreal. The energy and everything else was just unreal. I was really, really impressed.
Yeah, I thought I'm off mute.
Yeah,
I agree with all of that, really. I mean, it's the best I've seen of Aubameyang for a lot, well, probably since the cup final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know there's been little bits, you know, Leeds at home last season and things like that, but in terms of his overall work rate, and you could, I mean, we're going to go through all the players, Neil, but it is a massive win for Arteta, and you just wonder, and you know, I'm not going to lie, I've been very critical of Arteta, and I think and still do think he was quite lucky to be in a job come the start of the season. But we did mention over the summer, if you're gonna keep him in a job, then go all in on it. You know, jump off the cliff if you're gonna do that, and back him fully. You know, and with these signings, the more you hear about them, the more you hear where they came from. We'll go on to do a little sort of new signing segment in a second, but you know, they've all pretty much, a lot of them have come from him, right? Even we hear about like Ramsdale and Tomiyasu being his picks. The club might have actually wanted someone different. So they've literally gone, okay, even though you really, you know, you didn't do great last season, you might have finished eighth outside of Europe for the first time in decades. You've gone and backed him fully with big money as well, but, you know, biggest spent club in Europe. With little incomings. I just wonder though, Neil, you know, if you talk about sort of turning points, and I don't want to sort of jump the gun too much because we went too far after the first three games loss. And, you know, you don't want to go too far the other way after just, you know, bringing it round the other corner. You know, it's better to say, well, okay, we're improving, but there's a long way to go. But it is, I do feel like this might be actually a significant moment, Neil. I hope it is. I really do. Because as much as I've criticised him, of course, we all want him to do well. We all want him to be the manager for Arsenal and be successful. It would be stupid to say that we don't want a manager to be successful for Arsenal. Do you think it could be that significant, Neil? Or do you think, you know, time will tell?
No. Listen, I you don't have to berate yourself. I've been calling for his head. I've been saying he's not ready. I backed him, as you all know. I called him the Quad Messiah. Well, I called Emery the Quad Messiah, but let's leave that aside for a second.
Call Freddie Ludlow the Quad Messiah after four games.
I call all of them the Quad Messiah. I'm just hopeful I am. I'm just the ever optimistic. I have been saying, look, I when he came on board, I thought he spoke very well. I thought his everything he was saying, it rang true. And I wanted him to do nothing but succeed. And I thought he was the person to do it. I was even thinking that he would be the right man when he wasn't with us, and thinking that I reckon he's with Pep to gain some a couple of years experience, get that detachment away from Wenger so he's not called a Wenger boy, and comes back to manage Arsenal in the future, because I was hearing so many good things about him behind the scenes. And apparently I was hearing that he was a lot of the brains behind the strategy and tactics that was employed for Man City's play. So I thought, this guy's going to be incredible. So I completely backed him, Jack. And then recently I've been thinking, sorry, I've got it wrong. He's not experienced enough. He needs to go away, maybe manage a few other clubs first. And then, yes, I've got no doubt that he's going to become a great manager, but he needs that experience. And the Arsenal job was way too early for him, especially in the situation that we were in. If we'd been flying top of the table, winning trophy after trophy, I think even then it might have been too much for him. So now, especially with the situation we're in. So no, I'm not going to get carried away. It is only, if you think about it, really deep down, it was 45, 60 minutes total, 70 minutes. They shaded possession, by the way, which I was surprised at. Just a little bit, but they shaded possession throughout the game. But I just think that, number one, don't want to get carried away with it. As you said, let's be sensible. Let's see how the next five or six games go. We've got a tough one, as you guys were saying, coming up. And then we can reassess. However, it's magnificent as well. You know, we can't get away from the fact that we're all feeling completely elated at the moment, this moment in time. And we would take what we saw all day long. Of course, we want Arteta to succeed. We want the club to succeed. We want all the players to do well as for themselves and as a collective. And I think that, yes, it was a massive turning point because the significance for the fans was immense. The fact that he has now probably got a lot of them on his side going into future games, because that was his safety net, the fact that there were no fans. And I think if it had been a non-COVID situation, there would have been a very, very stark possibility that because of the live games and the fans being at the games, that he might have got sacked. So that has saved him, I think, in a way. The fact that now he's got the fans and he's had the most magnificent result yesterday. Did you see the fans outside the stadium way after final whistle? You know, they are buoyant beyond belief. I've not seen scenes like this for a long, long time. So if he's got that bit behind him now, it's a massive turning point, I think, I feel. Not just from the football perspective, but for getting everyone's support as well. So yes, great turning point. But let's not get carried away. Let's be sensible.
I think the fans have been fantastic, to be fair. I mean, I had a lot to say about the fans in the latter stages of Arsene Wenger's era, and I don't want to go back to that, but I think they've been fantastic in terms of the support. I mean, if you look at the Norwich game, right, it would have been very easy at points in that game to really start turning. And obviously, you know, you boys are closer than I am, but I didn't get that sense at all. I felt like they were very much behind the team, and despite the fact we were struggling big time, weren't we? And like you said, it's, you know, it's just one game, or, you know, you could say just three games. But James, let's go from the start. I mean, we absolutely flew out, and we spoke about games under Arteta that we've had sort of significant moments. Chelsea last season where we won 3-1, but we didn't attack like this. I mean those three goals, they were all fantastic goals. Second one's probably the pick. I mean, in terms of the football, Granit Xhaka was fantastic for the second one, by the way. I just think, you know, and you know, Ramsdale could have put him in trouble in a way there. And we would have, if it was Leno, we'd have been blaming him for it. But I'll be honest with you, when I see moments like that from Leno, although I'd criticise Leno because I felt he'd keep doing it, oftentimes we criticise Xhaka as well, because you should be able to handle that kind of pressure. That's what you're there for. That's what someone central in the middle of the park needs to be able to do. And he did it fantastically well. But we attacked so coherently, James. And that's what we've been asking for, isn't it? To be able to see the plan, specifically the attacking plan of Mikel Arteta. And hopefully this is a sign of what's to come, isn't it?
Yeah. 100%. If you want to go through the goals, the first one, it's a lovely little ball by Xhaka over to Odegaard, who you're probably going to do it in your, like you
got,
said,
I've
your,
got a whole your, script on Odegaard.
Well, in your new signing segment, I know he's been there before, but we've got him permanently, so he can go into the new signing segment, I guess. So we'll wait. Yes. I'll wait for the Odegaard loving, and then I'll jump in.
but he was brilliant, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He lays a lovely ball to Saka. And then, you know, we all spoke about it, and you mentioned it earlier, but Neil, especially last week, was saying, please put him back over on the right, because look at what he does. And I think, what, he hasn't had a goal or an assist in the league since February or something, was it?
Is it really that?
And I think Smith Rowe went 12 or 13 games without in the league without an assist and whatever. And look, he's back in his position that we all think is his best one. And he does a little drop of the shoulder, little shimmy, cuts it across to his mate Smith Rowe. And they're the easiest goals that you're ever going to score. If you can get into that position, whip it across the box, because what, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a tap in. And we did. And it's a absolutely brilliant goal. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's amazing. What football and everything else. And then you want to go on to the second, or shall I wait a minute? Or?
Well, the second, I mean, the second is a terrific move. But I love that the second, it wasn't slow build up, right? But no. Those goals are through Arteta that's been very structured from the back. Multiple, but this wasn't that, was it, James? I mean, it was fast moving. The Aubameyang's flick was amazing. Smith Rowe, and really, I mean, hail end, mate. I mean, just those first two goals.
Well, they've been called foul end by certain people the other last couple of weeks, haven't they?
And delete his tweets.
I won't talk about your brother.
No, I don't bother.
Keeps going on about Ober and whatever.
Yes.
The second, like you said, Granit Xhaka makes a brilliant recovery, because it's a suicide ball from Ramsdale. I mean, we'll talk about him later on as well, but yeah, he's a suicide ball. And, you know, like I said earlier, Souness and Ledley King, oh, it's a definite foul. I can't believe it's not been given. And Højbjerg is so similar to Xhaka from the point of view of he gives it that he's this hard hatchet man player. But you know how Granit Xhaka like rolls on the floor sometimes and tries to buy these fouls, and you're just like, mate, what are you doing? Like, you're never going to, the refs have sussed you out because he does it every single time. Højbjerg's the same. I'm like, mate, you do this like 30 times a game and you get about three. But the refs are like, chuck on, mate. You've just fallen over. It was never a foul. And yeah, the ball goes out to Tierney. He lays it onto Smith Rowe. The flick from Aubameyang, this is what we were saying a couple of weeks ago. Aubameyang is surrounded now by all the other people that do the work for him. Like, okay, we know Aubameyang can run, but he's at a stage now where you've got the others that could do the running for you. All you've got to do is get in the position and finish. And yeah, it was quality. It was just quality.
It's not an easy finish, James. Yeah. That is not an easy. I mean, it's a great ball cut back, but it's on his weaker foot. It's slightly behind him. It's bobbling a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a really clean strike.
And I thought, you know, we all said, oh, you know, if Aubameyang scores, he's going to bring out the forward flip and we're all going to laugh. He did a better celebration than the forward flip. He done the Henry tribute right in front of him as well.
Fantastic.
Right,
you tell them they've been practicing that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because they all did it.
But and he was there as well to see it. I was like, oh, that's lovely.
I'm excited. Sorry, James.
Yeah, go on.
Please, let me. Come on. The first goal, did you guys mention that Ben White started that goal?
No.
Yeah, he started from the back into. Oh, yeah, you're right. I was very impressed with Ben White. But
brilliant. His aerials were magnificent.
It was.
Everyone was just perfect. Anyway, they're all perfect. We're Arsenal, we're perfect anyway. So Ben White and Ramsdale, if there is any, that was probably, I don't know about you guys, but for me, since he has been an Arsenal player, that was probably his first mistake, I'd say.
He said it afterwards as well, didn't he?
And he was annoyed with himself. That's what I like. You know, all right. And I know I'm jumping ahead, but even the fact that when they scored, when he got a hand to Son's strike, you see him berating himself.
Yeah.
The guy's a perfectionist. I love it. I love the man's passion. Sorry, I just wanted to say that. James, carry on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
No, please. Yeah, no, thank
you. But, you know, it was a great move. It was a great move. The second goal, you're right. It was a fantastic move. It was really good to see. A very smooth one touch. Something, you know, hopefully we've been building from. And you know what I quite like is down the left is because we spoke, didn't we, a lot about can you? I mean, I think they're putting that sort of belief to bed about Odegaard and Smith Rowe being able to play together. Because I think a lot of Smith Rowe's best games are now coming from the left, to be honest. He's such an interesting player, Smith Rowe, because he isn't really your typical number 10, right? I mean, Odegaard is a typical number 10 in terms of, I mean, he's not typical in terms of his work rate, but we'll get to that. But in terms of being on the ball, etc. But Smith Rowe is a player that loves to basically run off the ball onto it, late runs into the box like he did, right? He's got the real ability to be like a mixture between Lundberg and Pires almost, like that ability to be on the ball. He's very good on the ball. You saw it for the third goal as well, which he should have got an assist for, by the way. I think that's ridiculous that he didn't get it just because Kane made a half challenge. But yeah, you know, I was like, I could have sworn he assisted that one because Kane sort of made a sort of stupid challenge to it, which was his fault anyway, which was fantastic. But he's got. I think out of all of our sort of front four, other than Aubameyang, he might have the ability to be on the score sheet the most because he's always in and around the box, always making those late runs.
I was going to say he's been given the assist for the third goal on what I've seen.
I haven't seen on the Premier League's Twitter.
Oh, BBC and all them have said that he got the.
They didn't give it to him on the Premier League Twitter.
I'll have a look quick on Fantasy Football If Fantasy Football give him it. No, Fantasy Football have given him it as well. So the Premier League have said that it's... Yeah, they can't count as an assist on Fantasy Football if it's not been given.
Oh, fantastic. It's a two assists and one goal.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He was the youngest player to score in a North London derby. And then all of a sudden, Saka scores as well as assisted, and then he breaks both the records, don't he? He becomes the youngest player to score and assist in a North London derby. I think it was Fabregas in 2007 was who it was originally. And yeah, no, the third, like you just said there, Smith Rowe got the assist, but it's about time Kane laid Saka, you know, all England, Saka for England's all the time laying Kane in. So it was nice for Kane to
perfect.
Repay, he lost the ball, didn't he? Repay it back.
It was the only time you saw Kane break into
and he took the knee for him. And he took the knee for him.
You said about, you know, that, yep. How bad Reguilon is at defending. Kane's had to run about 65 yards back to bail him out because, like you said, he just stood there like a statue.
Yeah, Reguilon's awful at defending. I mean, they love him because he's a whippet and fast merchant. But but Kane lost the ball, didn't he, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was really tight between Smith Rowe and Saka for man of the match. And I know all the official stuff gave it to Smith Rowe, but I think Saka edged it for me.
He was fantastic.
He had 54 touches of the ball. He won 14 of his duels. He recovered the ball 6 times, you know, created 3 chances, got 3 tackles in there. You know, all of his shots are on target. He had 1 clearance, 1 interception and a golden assist. What more do you want?
I mean, he is our right winger. I think he is our right winger. And it's odd that people say, you know, should it be, because it shouldn't really be a comparison between Saka and Pepe, because Saka is clearly, you know, an elite player for us.
Yeah.
And Pepe really hasn't hit those heights yet.
No.
I think the only way Pepe gets in is on the left wing if we shift the 10 role, you know, or something like that, and Smith Rowe moves in.
If you think of what happened, you know, you can go back to that party at the base. And then having your Smith Rowe and your Odegaard as your sort of 2 10s.
Yeah, and then Pepe comes
in. And then, I'd put Pepe back on the left.
Yeah, that's Saka what I and, think.
Yeah.
I
would do, but I reckon possibly he might go to Niles now. This is your chart. I can't see it being Lekonga and Partey, but I think he might give Niles a run as in that world. But no, we're talking about Smith Rowe and Saka just now. They've assisted each other 5 times in the league. And they're the youngest duo since Ronaldo and Rooney to get that. I mean, Ronaldo and Rooney have got 8. That's the record. But Saka doesn't turn 21 until next September. So if they can assist each other for 4 more goals, because I want that record beaten. If Saka and Smith Rowe can become statistically better than Rooney and Ronaldo, I will dine off that for years.
Absolutely.
But they're not as good. I don't care. The records say they are. So they are better than them.
Absolutely. But football is all about these little partnerships, right, on the pitch, like Pires and Henri and Vieira and Bergkamp and all that. And Smith Rowe and Saka have had it, haven't they? They've always had it. I mean, they didn't play tons together at youth level, but it was there. But ever since they're playing the first team, they've always had that sort of link up. So when they play together, you know, you just they're able to connect on the pitch, right? And it's fantastic to see. The fact they both came through Hale End, you know, and been with Arsenal since they were kids is fantastic. Like you said, they know the meaning of the derby, and Wenger was always so good. It didn't matter if they were English or foreign, embedding that into the minds of the players. But it is handy, right? Especially when you've got a young team, to have players that are so, you know, aware of how big this is and how much this means.
The only thing Saka did wrong was that he didn't commit to the challenge for that third goal. I mean, they brought on the guy, was it Gil, who looks like the thing out of what's that sitcom that's on all the time? Big Bang. He looks like the geezer from Big Bang Theory, doesn't he?
I've never watched Brian Gill, but no, I saw him come on.
He looks like the geezer from Big Bang Theory, and he just didn't commit. I thought he could have won the ball there and potentially broke away, but he bottled out of the challenge. And like you said, Neil, Ramsdale got a glove to it, and when it went in, he was fuming he let it in.
Yeah, it's just Saka's ability on the right wing just to cut inside, like, you know, sort of like a, you know, young or Arjen Robben style kind of thing. But his ability to do that is just unstoppable, really. I mean, he can go both ways because he's both footed as well, which is something Pepe, I mean, he can use his right foot, but it's not to the same degree. His game's not as simplified as Saka's, right? He always tries to do a little bit too much, I think, Pepe. And while he's improved defensively, his output and his ability on the ball from a deep area is not what Saka's is. And I think, he's just got to be our starting right winger. Came on against Wimbledon, changed the game from the right wing again, didn't he? When it was a bit, you know, it was a bit sort of stale, the game. after the 40th minute, Neil, obviously 3-0 up in 33 minutes, Tottenham fans leaving in their droves. It was fantastic to see. I paid extra money for. I was literally calling my TV subscription. I said, should I pay extra this month? I said, I'll give you, what do you want, cash? It's fantastic. It was just worth it just for that 90 minutes. But after that, Neil, I mean, it was very solid, careful. This is my moment to sort of get onto the new signings. Most touches on the pitch was from our right back, Tommy Asu. I don't know the last time that's happened, specifically for Arsenal, especially with some of the dodgy right backs we've had after the last few years. But he's come in, Neil came in, like we said last week, he came in, you know, just jumped off the plane and straight into the first team. And it's like he's been here for ages. And some people were underestimating, can we get by without a top right back? And I'm not saying anything too much yet about Tomiyasu, but I mean, the guy knows how to play right back. Absolutely no question about it, Neil. And he's just 100% in absolutely everything he does. 100%. No sort of frills or anything like that. Wins his duels, wins his aerials. Unbelievable in the air for a right back, by the way. Just ridiculous. He comes out of nowhere and he wins the balls in the air, but drives forward. They said he wasn't very good going forward. I haven't seen any of that. He looks fantastic when he's driving forward. Knows when to give the ball, doesn't do too much with it. Strong. And a strong right back. Bellerin's like a feather. I mean, Neil, it's breath of fresh air to see a right back like that. And it's interesting, since he's come into the team, I don't think it's specifically because of him, but we've always seen a decreased reliance on our left back Tierney in terms of an attacking sense. And it's not that Tierney's been bad, but it's nice to see that he's not the focal point of the attack anymore, Neil. I think it's really quite refreshing. I don't think our left back should be the focal point of our attack, and he's not anymore, which is really nice to see. But just thoughts on Tomiyasu, Neil, in the first three or four games that he's played. I think he's been absolutely brilliant, to be honest.
You just answered your own question, mate.
Sorry.
Nothing much to add. To be honest, he's just no. It's just been an unbelievable acquisition. Unbelievable. I mean, end of the day, you just said that some fans were saying we can get away with not having a decent. No, we can't. A team has to have balance. That's the whole point of why we've got 11 players, because we have to have complete balance throughout the pitch. Without a solid defence, without a confident keeper, we can't help and assist the midfield and the engine do what they do to make the keep create chances for the forwards. So it's a fluid flowing, one dimensional kind of, system where everyone has to contribute. So no, the importance of the right back, the importance for every position it speaks for itself. We don't have to, think that we can get away with not having any players in that position. He has been absolutely magnificent. When you just said it all the attributes are there. He just reads the game and the ball so well, doesn't he? That's the thing. That's what stands out to me. And he's not. You look at the same side. If you put Pepe back in there, Pepe, I've always said, as you said earlier, he just tries too hard. He takes that showboat in a little bit too extra, maybe that one touch too much. Tomiyasu, complete opposite. He'll do just enough. He'll do just enough to stop an attack. He's defending is just as good as anything going forward to help create something or start something up. We used to talk about Bellerin when he first came on. We were thinking, what a magnificent player, but we were suspect maybe initially about his defending. But he's just come on out of nowhere and taken the bull by the horns, and he has made a massive difference. The impact that Ramsey has had between the sticks as a goalkeeper, as a vocal goalkeeper, we can see it. We can see what a difference it's made to the team already. We've conceded, one goal in four games now? Four Premiership games, one goal, right? Whereas before we'd conceded 9 in 3. What a difference, right? With the same token, this is that Tommy's had on the right-back position, I think he's had just as much of an impact. And it's so important that we have, as you said, we were so left-sided, or majority-wise, attack-wise. Now we've got that balance. And you can, as you said, it will probably help Tierney, because I think he probably felt all the pressure was on him. And I think Tommy would work just as well with Pepe. I mean, we're saying Pepe shouldn't probably cut feature on the right. I was calling for it. I said, I think he plays better on the left, but how many chances is he going to get unless he played, create the system that James alluded to earlier with, featuring him, Odegaard, Smith-Rowe as well. So it's possible, but I think Tommy would also enhance Pepe as well. if the need arose. Because, you know, my only worry about Saka is, I mean, he's just a dream player and he's got so much power, enthusiasm, drive and everything. But I do fear that sometimes I think he might need to be given a little bit of a rest. And that's when we got Pepe that could potentially step in. And I think Tommy would work just as well with Pepe as he does with Saka. He's an amazing signing.
Top players, like you said, top players make others look better. And a great point when I move off the new signing segment.
He's not a new signing. I don't need to say any more about the old Fukioka Cafu. We've summed him up enough as it is. Neil forgot to mention his favourite yesterday, and since he's come back as well, Gabriel. What a man mountain.
Yeah, honestly, isn't it?
I mean, White got a lot of the plaudits yesterday, rightly so, because people were writing him off before that. Like I said, they were talking about how he was going to get rinsed and smashed.
Oh, good, yeah. That's why I thought.
But Gabriel, I mean, I don't even know if he can fully speak English as well himself yet, but he was barking again, telling them that you stand here, you do it. And Neil, you summed it up. It's the collectiveness of it all. Is absolutely amazing. I mean, Odegaard, I wanted to tell him the London Marathon's next week because he was doing it yesterday. we couldn't find the distance cover stats. I really wanted to find them.
Got such high expectancy for Odegaard, and he annoyed me twice in the first half where he just lost the ball twice because he didn't know someone was behind him. But honestly, the guy in the second half, again, another one that just stood out, because when everyone sat off and could tell we were tiring a little bit in the second half, I mean, he just keeps going. And
on the press, mate, he's unreal.
Yeah, and we've not had a number 10. And I'm not specifying this to any particular person, but you can read between the lines. But we have not had a number 10 like that for time that not only is there to, because everything runs through him, let's be honest. I mean, he's always the guy we give the ball to most. I think he's second highest touch yesterday of the ball. But you know, everything runs through him, and he heavily involved in one of the goals as well. But you know, didn't get an assist or a goal or anything, but was heavily involved. But just like you said, he initiates that press, doesn't he? If we're going to press properly, he's our trigger. He is the person that everyone needs to follow. And I think we did to a certain degree, especially in that first 40 minutes, because he says, and he, like you said, he's very vocal as well. I think being here for 6 months has helped a lot. But also, you know, with his captaincy with Norway, et cetera, he's probably old beyond his years a little bit. And he is that trigger, right? Maybe he is more than anything one of the ones that's getting more out of the likes of Aubameyang. Why are we seeing Aubameyang look different since he's... I think we see him look different when Odegaard plays. I personally do. I think we see more from him. I think he's on the ball more. He gets more chances. Why is that? I think it's because we've got a 10 that knows what he's doing now.
He's a sensational player. And I thought Partey yesterday was amazing. If Aubameyang had controlled that pass and then run through and scored
that one over the top,
we would be saying that's the assist of the season so far.
Right before the second half,
it was unbelievable. Yeah. It was unbelievable to pick him out like that. And again, Ramsdale for me, if I got to eat humble pie every weekend, I'll keep doing it.
Well, let's stop on that.
At the moment, it's tasting good.
because let's start, obviously, you know, I want to eat humble pie for everyone, starting with a manager, to be honest. But but I'm going to hold on that one because, like you said, you know, we're six games in, there's a long way to go. But Ramsdale, obviously, you were concerned because you watched him and you had real concerns about certain aspects of his game. My concern, because I'm getting pelters from it, even from our chief editor, thanks, Anthony. and the tweets are there, I'm not going to lie about it. But I was concerned for two reasons. One was the fee that we're putting out and could that money be spent elsewhere? Which people say, well, it's not up to you, but I get that. But secondly was with the other, I did not expect him to come in and take Leno's place straight away. I didn't think he had the balls to do it. So full credit to him for that. He's literally seen him. He said, right, the first chance I get, he's in the team. And he's made a massive difference. And he makes a difference, like you said, Neil, not just the goals we've not conceded and things like that. He makes a huge difference to the effect he has on the four players in front of him, right? Because everything, I mean, you saw at the end of the game with that save that he made, everything is so important to him, right? And him and Tomiyasu, I mean, they've known each other a week or two. They know each other a week or two, right? And there they are, and they know right? Like how important it is to make that tackle, to make that save. And they are understanding the importance of the moment, right? And that is really important, because, and it's important that we see it as well, especially from a goalkeeper. And you didn't see that often enough with Leno, whether he did the right thing or he didn't do the right thing. And that is infectious. That's infectious.
No, can I just say, look, listen, from this perspective, as good as the defenders are now, we're comfortable. Look, White's come out of his shell. He's taken a few games to come out of his shell. Gabriel's been magnificent since he's came back from injury. Tierney, we all know about Tierney. And Tomiyasu, we just spoke about. He's just some kind of alien from a different planet. It's ridiculous. But I don't think, as good as they've all been now, well, especially yesterday, the game against Tottenham, I don't think they would have been as good as if you don't have someone who's behind them who's so confident. Now, it's no coincidence that this is what Emi Martinez, I know you guys don't want to talk about it much, but I'm just talking as an example and using it as a benchmark.
Similar characters.
And he inspired that quote. Do you see how the defence improved when Emi was in between the sticks? He's come in and done the same thing. You know, I was so, so upset when we lost Emi Martinez. I really was. I'm going to say it. I don't care. I was fuming. I said, what a stupid decision to make. Absolutely ridiculous. And I thought, that is going to cost us. We're already struggling so much with this club. We're already struggling with key positions. Some of the players, what the hell are they doing? They're not interested. Da, 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 da. We were saying everything like that, me included. And then I thought, yeah, on top of that, you go and sell our bloody best keeper. What the hell are you doing? And thankfully, it hasn't been a long wait. We have found, I'm going to even say, I think he's even better. I think he's even better than Martinez. I like Martinez for his antics and stuff. I love all that. I love it. I personally like all of that. We saw what he did with Ronaldo, the penalty, and, you know, him goading Ronaldo. But Ramsdale, for me, the way, even after the game, and he was going up to all the fans and he was going, come on, and he was appreciating all the fans' applause and everything. For me, is an unbelievable signing as well. I think, as I said it last time, I think all the signings actually have been magnificent. All of them.
Yeah.
The recent ones.
You know, you're right. You're completely right on the, and it's not that. And, you know, you stop talking about the likes of Emi Martinez when you start seeing your goalkeeper do what you believe they should be doing as an Arsenal number one, right? We've had fantastic goalkeepers in the past, so it's not like we haven't set a standard. I mean, we've had fantastic goalkeepers. I do have a question for you, actually, that my dad gave me, and I'll see if you get it. I'll do it at the end. But I agree with you on Ramsdale. I think he's been fantastic. It's early days. I don't want to judge, you know, obviously only judge on what we see, though. I mean, he's been fantastic. It's early days. I mean, James had concerns about him. Lots of people had concerns about him. The fee, you know, being relegated twice, etc. But like you said, the difference between Ramsdale and Martinez is 29, 30. Ramsdale's what, 23? I mean, so when he makes that mistake, and I do think you should probably, I can see him being irritated why he didn't save Son's shot, right? He said, I needed to be on the front foot. If I was on the front foot, I'd save that. But he fell back slightly and he didn't get strong enough hand to it. But the reason you forgive him that, and I'll say this because people say, I know what they'll say to me, you're hypocritical, because if that was Leno, you'd be going on about it for 30 minutes. But the reason is you know Leno won't learn from it. He will not learn from it. He won't. We've seen it for 2 or 3 years. He doesn't learn from it, right? But the way he plays out the back, he doesn't learn from it. The saves the mistakes that he makes, the going up for Chelsea and parrying it down and they score from a tap-in from Jorginho, doesn't learn from it, continues to do that silly stuff, right? Ramsdale's 23, right? And he has the potential to learn from all of this stuff, and that's what you want, right? That's why, that is why we're going to get behind a goalkeeper much
more. The difference is he wants to learn from it. I don't see that impression given from Leno.
He doesn't want to be here. He said he doesn't want to be here, doesn't he, basically, as much, and then realised no one wants him and went, oh, no, I actually quite like it. Well, yeah.
Like Neil's alluded to, and we've said it before in the other podcasts, this team needs a goalkeeper like that, especially that back five. Maybe not Tierney, because, you know, I think Tierney's quite passionate in his own self.
But they need, you know, that vocal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing that Neil was saying as well is there was a time in that second half where Harry Kane has a shot from the edge of the D Ramsdale palms it out, and then Tomiyasu quickly goes bang and kicks it away from a corner, and he goes underneath Tomiyasu because he's on the floor, lifts him under his arms, and he's like, yes, mate, come. And that little positive affirmation, I think those players need it, because you can clearly see the way Arteta is trying to instruct them for every single ball and everything else like that.
Sit down, mate.
Yeah. I think these players need to have someone that, you know, maybe, okay, Arteta can't come on the pitch and put an arm around them whilst they're playing. But it's like Ramsdale's given them that little lift, and that gives an extra 10, 20% to them, you know, having that sort of, like we said, that presence and that character.
And that's because we're young. We're the youngest team in the league, 24. Mm. We're mm-hmm. going to have to create leaders, right? We're going to have to... We don't know of them, but Gabriel, Ramsdale, Odegaard, those are the guys I'm looking to.
There's a nice little spine developing there.
Yeah.
And it's just... I'm praying, just all of you stay fit. Because, like we said earlier, if one of that five go out, the backup options ain't there for me.
No, I'm worried mostly about the Gabriel White, Tomiyasu area.
Well, to be honest, I don't go as deep on holding as other people do. You know, Tony Adams was glowing about holding, by the way.
Yeah,
he said, you know, that's a guy there that I think could feel hard done by, because he was brilliant. He said he really helped Arsenal last season.
Do you know what it is, James? I think all of Rob Holding's best games have come in a back three. I'm convinced of it. So I actually believe this, and I don't want to talk about this, but if there is an injury at centre back in the season, which is highly possible, especially with Arsenal, I believe you might see Tomiyasu move back there.
I was just about to say that to you. Yeah, and he'll put Chambers back on the right.
Chambers or Niles, if Niles is, he'll do that. Because it will represent similar attributes in terms of this guy can play in a four. He's got the agility. He's got the aerial ability, right? Yeah. He's got the attributes, hasn't he? You can see it already. Mm-hmm. Both footed, good in the air, fast, right? And Tomiyasu, I mean, I don't want to keep saying it, but mid-August, I spoke about Tomiyasu, and I think me and you were the only ones on flipping. And now everyone knows about Tomiyasu, even though they're calling for Trippier up until the last day. And Emerson Royale. But he is without doubt an Arteta signing. I didn't even need to be told it. You can just watch him for 5 minutes, read about where he's played, and you're like, he's absolutely unique. I mean, you find another right back that's 6'2", that fast, can play with both feet, and can play centre back and left back. It's like Arteta's. I mean, if you asked Arteta what's your dream football player, it's Tomiyasu. That is what it is. It's literally him. But we've done a few new signings. We've done a little bit on Ramsdale, a little bit on Odegaard, a little bit on Tomiyasu. I was really, really impressed with Ben White, to be honest. I've been critical of him. I think I was very critical of him against Burnley, where I felt he was targeted, and I don't think he necessarily handled it that well. Obviously, the pass back as well. I'm always impressed by Gabriel since he's come back in, but this was a game that I was quite impressed with Ben White, maybe because of who he had to handle, right? I think Son's their best player, and I know Son scored, but I thought he handled him really well. And Kane started to filter over to him, but then kind of stopped and moved away from that after a while, because White was handling him really well. And Kane knows if he goes near Gabriel, he's done for. He's done it before, hasn't he, Gabriel? He sees him out of the game. And Kane was largely annoyed. He had that header in the first half from a corner. And obviously the sort of gilt edge chance in the second half from a ball over the top. But they were terrible. I thought they were absolutely terrible. Obviously, came back into it. I think we allowed them to a little bit. Maybe a bit of tiredness, maybe a bit of nerves, maybe a little bit kicking in. You know, we gave a lot of energy to that first sort of 45, 60 minutes. It's interesting to see substitutions, isn't it? When we're winning, it's almost the same. It's the same substitutions, isn't it? It's Tavares on the left side. Niles comes on somewhere in the middle to give us legs, and Lokonga as well. And it's just interesting to see that's his kind of go-to players, which means we don't really get a lot of variety in our attack, but you don't need it if you're winning the game, I guess. So that's fine.
You pulled the shutters down.
Absolutely. But just a few others that I do want to touch on. Obviously, touch on Smith Rowe. Xhaka, look, Neil, obviously the injury is the one sort of unfortunate thing. He had what we call like a valgus. I'm trying to rewatch it right now. I'm trying to thought. I can't remember what minute it was. I think it was near the end, was it? Like 80th minute or something. Because that's just, when they scored.
It's just before their goal, isn't it? So.
Yeah, 75th minute. That's right. Yeah. I'm just watching it. But he goes in. He definitely opens up his MCL. I just hope it's not his ACL. But that is a bit of unfortunate. And we talk about partnerships. And Xhaka looked really good. He looked really good, Neil. He was winning balls in the air. He was faster at moving the ball. And I just think, you know, Thomas Partey brings that level of the midfield up a notch, to be honest. And I think that is, Neil, there's no way, two ways about it. That's our best midfield pair. Lokonga looks fantastic, but currently you can't really argue that Xhaka and Partey is our best midfield pair. And he might be a bit, you know, it might cost us a little bit. He's been out injured, then he's had, ban, which was his fault, COVID, which I'm not going to get into whether it's his fault or not. And then, you know, the MCL. So hopefully it's not more than 3 or 4 weeks, which is usually the minimum for one of those things. It's a bit unfortunate, Neil, another injury for us.
Yeah, it is. Is that official? Because if it's not official, let's hope it might be.
No, it's not official. That's the mechanism.
So let's say maybe we might get lucky and it won't be that. And he might be back sooner than we think. Might be out. We don't know. But let's stay hopeful. Let's stay positive. I mean, I've always gone on about partnerships. And yeah, I agree. I think the suspension did him good. I think the fact that because he was awful. Well, I mean, to be honest, there wasn't much to gloat about anyway before that, maybe apart from a couple of the youngsters. But to be honest, I think the suspension done him good. And I can't remember who was telling me. Someone mentioned it and it was spot on because I was thinking, as I said at the top of this podcast, Xhaka was like, oh, is he going to come back in? Oh, please don't. And yeah, prove me wrong, which is great. I always want to be proved wrong. I don't care who it is. End of the day, if we're all wearing the can, I've said it time and time again, if you're wearing the can, I'm not going to not support you when you're on the pitch. I'm not a boo boy. Oh, wait, because it's detrimental for the whole of the club. So I'm behind the club no matter what the players are. So, you know, I always want to be proved wrong completely. And I was, totally. And I think as someone said that actually, I've always noticed when Xhaka comes back, whether it be from a suspension or an injury, he always tends to do quite well. So it was lovely that had to be, it was fitting that it was a North London derby where we really needed an optimum Xhaka as if he was playing for his country. And he was just, he was brilliant. He was on it. And you're right. Normally, we're used to him slowing down. He's a very slow player. And then he kind of kills a move and he'll pass it sideways and back. But he was doing everything that the team wanted yesterday. I mean, Smith Rowe with his rapier runs and, you know, Odegaard exploiting spaces and Saka and getting regular on hell, you know, and Xhaka added and fueled all of that for me. And I think that, you know, he actually got they got Ramsdale out of trouble. That one error that Ramsdell made, Xhaka was all over it. He saved it, which even led to the goal. So, you know, he actually, in a way, he initiated and started off that goal. And that was the Aubameyang, wasn't it? And I thought Aubameyang's touch onto Smith, for that goal was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Quick thing on Ober. I've given him pelters. I'm not going to say I haven't. I totally destroyed Albert Ober recently. But he was a different player yesterday. I didn't recognise the team, to be honest. I did not recognise the team, but Xhaka, I thought, was brilliant. Hopefully, Jack, it's not as serious as maybe you might think it is, and he might be back sooner than we think. And those partnerships are so important throughout the pitch, Jack. Partnerships is what it's all about. That telepathy between players, and you know, more importantly, players feeling comfortable. And the only way that players can feel comfortable is their direct partner. They know them inside out and they trust them. It's like Smith Rowe and Saka, an example. They said it from the start, you know, months ago, that in training, we're like almost telepathic with each other. And then if you lose that partner, that can affect your game because you're so used to leaning on that person. Shouldn't be that way as a professional, but it helps. So, fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm just rewatching his injury again. It's so strange. More of kind of flies over Partey and whacks right into the side of his knee and he opens it up medially. So I mean, we've had a few of those. Coquelin had one, and his was grade one. It was free. I mean, the minimum, if it is that, which the mechanism is exactly that, so it would be surprising if it isn't that from just watching it. And I'm watching the tests they're doing. The hope, obviously, is not the big one. Gets up, walks off, walking around at the end of the game, the fans said, but that doesn't really make a difference. So, I mean, I would be surprised if it's not at least 3 or 4 weeks, unless I'm missing something. But which means which takes us on. I mean, fantastic, with 2-goal lead takes us ahead of Tottenham, which is always nice. I was actually thinking about that in the last 10 minutes. I was like, let's just keep the result as it is. You know, keep it as it is. We'll be ahead of them. That'll be lovely, you know, because I did before the game. I was like, just win the game, you know, but then obviously 3-0 up, you want to, and obviously, you know, we've got a ways to go on a goal difference, but you know, it's like you said, it's baby steps, 3 wins in a row. And it's fantastic. And maybe, you know, people, you know, all the excuses came out for the Brentford game. And, you know, I get that. I felt we were just unprepared for the start of the season. And then for the City and the Chelsea game, you know, it wasn't that we lost. I think we all expected us to lose, but it's the manner of your defeats in those games that really concern you, right? You watch those two games and you go, you know, we've got to put up more of a fight and be more resilient in those kind of games. And I didn't feel we were, especially in the City one, of course. And then, you know, but then obviously the last 3 games, we've started to build and build and build, look better each game, I think, in a way, especially going forward. And like you said, it's a new team. It's a fresh team. It's been a lot of changes. I guess the expectancy would be with that amount of changes for it wouldn't necessarily hit the ground running. We need Aubameyang. We need him to be good this season, right? We really do, right? The hope is Tottenham have a season like we had with Aubameyang last season, that they get with Harry Kane for different reasons, you know, that he doesn't want to be there. Obviously, Aubameyang was blighted by COVID and family stuff and maybe a little issue with the manager. I think there was an issue with the manager personally that lingered after that Tottenham game personally. It does seem like even before this game, though, you see a lot of the videos, they're together a lot more in practice. They're talking a lot more. They're laughing and joking a lot more in the photo shoot for the team. Like, I don't know if I'm just noticing that sort of stuff, but I don't really remember that in the last 6 months between Arteta and Aubameyang as much. And yeah, he's like you said, I mean, you know, people talk about fans being back and that being a huge thing for players like Aubameyang, who's a bit of a showman, right? He loves being, you know, in the spotlight. That you can tell by, you know, the way he dresses, the car that he drives, which is fine. If that's whatever triggers him to be, you know, absolutely flipping lethal in front of goal, because it's there. He's done it all his career, and we don't have a lot of goals in this team. We have to get one player in this team that's getting sort of 20 odd goals, because we don't have a load of goals other than the striker. You're expecting the other 3 forwards, the 10 and the wingers, to get goals, because I don't see goals coming from central midfield. Don't see goals coming from, you know, other than the 1 or 2s from anywhere else. So we need Aubameyang and one other to be on the score sheet regularly, right? So it needs to be that. And Pepe has output, which we kept saying, you know, that's why you play Pepe. But if you can get that output from players that are more consistent than Pepe, like your Smith Rose and like your Saka, that makes it really hard to see Pepe coming back into the team regularly, James, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the next game, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, so just rein me in.
Yeah, I do want to talk about. No, I want to talk about it. So okay. I think it's a big test. So whenever you're ready to.
Yeah, I mean, the next one, like we said earlier, the system change, and you can bring Pepe back on and everything. But I'm looking at it thinking, wide left against Brighton, quite big, you know, physical. They could easily show him out. So I don't know if. And I don't know if Arteta would do it either. I'm like, this could be one for Martinelli to try and run in behind. Get the pace in behind him.
He played there last year, by the way.
Just play your quickest players. I'm not saying that Pepe's slow, but I don't know. I'm looking at it now and I'm thinking in my head, like, it's probably a better one for Martinelli than Pepe.
Do you think there's a possibility after watching this game and seeing how our attack was very clear, You know, we had more decisive chances in this game, maybe in the, than in the previous two, even with the 4-3-3, that he just goes for a direct replacement for Xhaka, presuming Xhaka's out. They might just go for a Lokonga. I know Neil's got to go in a second as well. But do you think that's a possibility? We don't go to a 4-3-3, we keep to the 4-2-3-1 and maybe just bring Lokonga in? Or do you not think Lokonga and Partey is a mixture that he likes?
I don't think we've seen it enough, personally. I really don't know. I've got no issues with Lokonga. I think he's a great little player, like Neil said. I mean, Neil got to watch him a bit more in the Wimbledon game. But, yeah, maybe. I can't tell you how he thinks, because we think he's going one way and then he completely changes it the other, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the key is to be able to get that kind of attacking ability, because Brighton like to dominate the ball. They like to play with the ball a lot, right? So there's certainly it'll be interesting to see how. And they're very, very good, and their Potter's got them playing really, really well. And now they're getting results like they weren't getting results last season. They out XG'd everyone almost last season, but weren't getting results. We did get one question from Mims the Word that says, could be that maybe the process is starting to take shape. We kind of spoke about that, Mims the Word, about, you know, we don't want to go overboard, but if it, you know, it's starting to look better. But obviously, we're only six games in. So we maybe went a little bit overboard after the three-game loss, which is, maybe it's not human nature. Maybe it's just our nature to be a bit, you know, like, oh, you know, it's the end of the world. Let's get to 40 points, boys, which is kind of what we were talking. But we were saying that last season too, to be honest. A bit tongue-in-cheek there. But as fans, you naturally exaggerate the moments, don't you? You're going to exaggerate this moment and enjoy it. You're going to... but I think deep down we know that there's a long way to go. We're only six games in, but it's nice to be back in contention for the areas of the league that we really want to be. Because the way when you start a season like that, we saw last season, you can get to the point where it's unreachable, the target, no matter how good your form
is. It's a tough little run in, because we've got Brighton, Palace, Villa, Leeds, Leicester. I'm like, this is a good... Like, you know, we're happy at the moment, but let's, you know, there's a few tricky ones in there. I mean,
but do you know what? They're winnable.
To and fro. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, all of them are winnable. Leicester aren't as good as what I thought. Leicester have looked terrible this season.
Yeah.
But you can't write them off. Leeds, you don't know what you're going to. The only thing with Leeds is, you know, they're going to play that way. So he doesn't change for nothing. So if he has a bad day and we tonk him like we were tonking him last season, they're not going to change. But yeah, I mean, Villa's the one for me where I'm like,
Yeah, they had a good result, didn't they? That was hilarious. But they had a good result at Old Trafford, and they're doing well. They got some good players. Yeah. They spent a lot of money.
I'd say Brighton and the Villa game are the two biggest concerns out of that whole running for me.
Yeah. Brighton's going to be a tough one. I'll be watching them a little bit tomorrow to see. I mean, I know they play good football. They've got some good players, but Potter sets them up really well. So, and it's away. Even last year we went there. And we did win away last year there, but it was a really tough game and they had a lot of ball, etc. So, but it's exciting, you know. If we can go to Brighton and win, it's a big ask. It's you know, we've really started to turn the corner then. So it'd be really exciting. Neil, what's your predictions for Brighton away on Saturday? Big game. I think a much bigger test than Tottenham, with all due respect. I mean, it really is, I think.
Tough game. I just want to quickly say, one other thing I liked about the game yesterday is, you know, I was calling out for a little while, that sometimes you just got to have a shot on a pop-up goal. What about Partey's? No, I thought we were going to do it,
Neil. I thought he was going to do it.
It was early on, wasn't it? It was after like 10 minutes.
Lloris, yeah.
You know, that was a great strike, wasn't it? Lovely, lovely
strike.
Well,
which is nice to get one on target from him, to be honest.
Yeah. It'll come.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, I'd love him to score. He deserves a goal for his efforts. I think it will come, hopefully, sooner rather than later. Prediction-wise, I think I've got those two predictions right, didn't I, Wimbledon and Tottenham? I think I said 3-4-0 against Wimbledon and 3-1 against Tottenham. Well, I think it's 2-1.
Did you?
I think I might have done.
I don't remember my predictions. I've got to look back here. I don't remember my predictions.
I think you said 1-0 Tottenham. You said 1-0 to Arsenal. 2-0.
I said 1-0 Arsenal.
Sorry, yeah, sorry, 1-0 Arsenal and 2-0 Wimbledon. Yeah, so both, I think we all got the wins, right? Yeah.
So you did say 3-1 against Spurs because I said 2-1. You went, oh, I'm not going to pick the same as James. So
did he pick first scorer?
I don't think he got his scorers.
I said Gabriel against Spurs. I can't remember who I said for Wimbledon.
It's close, though. Very close. Yeah.
So long let look. I don't care. As long as we could win it, I could give a toss about my own predictions, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just want to see.
Lottery numbers for Tuesday, please, Neil. You're on a run.
That's right. Brighton, I think that's a massive. I think they've just come out and very quietly. You know, they've only lost one game as well all season. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. So it is a tough ask. I think you're right. I think it's going to be tougher than Spurs game. But look, Spurs, we were shocked. We were so pleasantly surprised at what we did in the first 45 minutes, especially. So look, hopefully if we can keep pretty much the same team together, they must be feeling confident now, surely after. And seeing the fans' reaction would have helped the players. So I'm going to go back to the old nil. I'm going to say a win. I think it's going to be a tight win. But do you know what? I like to think that we'll keep a clean sheet. I'm actually going to say it's going to be tough, but 2-0. And I'll say, again, giving him a lot of stick late, but I think that goal may have done him good. And I think I'll see, say, Aubameyang score. So Aubameyang 2-0.
2-0 Aubameyang. James? Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1. I think it's going to be a really tight game. I just think the height and the presence potentially from set pieces could be a bit sticky for us. But then Ramsdale does come out and claim them all. So you never know. Yeah. No, but I'm going to go for 2-1 and I'm going to go, let's go Smith Rowe. Let's Smith Rowe scoring. Yeah.
Lovely. I'll go, go one all.
He's brought us back down to earth.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know,
you're getting too carried away, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a good, I mean, it's not a terrible result, but it's not a good result in terms of, you know, where we want to be. But I'll go 1-1 Saka. But I'm hoping you two are right, of course. But at the moment, we should enjoy this week and start worrying by about Thursday. I'll start worrying about, you know, Saturday.
Yeah.
We've got to enjoy it.
The pundits the other day, I'm like, if you can't enjoy beating your rivals, what am I allowed to enjoy?
Soonest can do one.
Especially with how the world is at the moment. You know, okay, things are slowly opening up and stuff and you're getting a bit of your normality back. But I'm like, there's been so much that Tony Adams summed it up. He went, they've not had a lot to enjoy. Okay, they won an FA. But he went, these fans, they ain't had a lot to enjoy for a long time. And he went, you know, Tony Adams was like, let them live in the moment. Who cares? Yeah, let them live in the moment.
I didn't hear Souness saying that for the 27 years Liverpool were irrelevant while I was growing up. I don't remember him saying much of that when they weren't in Europe for all those years with Jamie Carragher and flipping Hencho back there with old Hippier. Get out of here. They're fine when their clubs are popping back up top, aren't they? Right now they start mentioning all the top four stuff again.
He's really slowly, I mean, the Pogba stuff with him already started a spiral. And I'm like, the more and more, I'm like...
Yeah, and the lack of... Kane's nothing short of a disgrace and the lack of media sort of specifics on that. You know, the fact that he wanted away, didn't turn up for training, come back, barely move into the team. I mean, he's been a bit of a disgrace, right? To be honest. I mean, he's a good servant for Tottenham, but that's not the way you... talisman and captain acts, no matter what. They're getting paid ludicrous amount of money to play for you. So, like, come on, it's just nothing coming from them. So, but boys, it's been good. We're North London's always been red, of course. They were top of the league. We were bottom 3 games ago. Now we're above them.
Shift of power.
they never got out of first gear. They wouldn't know what shift is.
What's their motto, James? Something about daring. What is it?
Oh, to dare,
dare is to die.
Yeah,
to dare is to be deluded. It should be changed to
dare is to die. is what it is. Rubbish, absolute rubbish. Idiots. The toilet bowl. I just want to say,
come to us when you've won about 10 premierships and gone unbeaten and won 20 more FA Cups. Then come and talk to us. Until then, we will always be overshadowing you.
They put the hoodoo on older Andy Joshua as well, the bastard.
I knew he was going to lose anyway.
What's their motto for their stadium? The only place to see the Champions League, is it? Do they mean the Conference League of Europa?
No, you know the restaurant. You know the restaurant and the bar they've got. They've got the big screen, so they watch it on the telly.
Unbelievable. Tottenham fans, do something first before you come and chirps all that rubbish. Yeah,
I got nothing.
Just
to sit, talk
otherwise,
about.
Shut up, sit down, and just keep being quiet and go away.
I want to give a quick mention for Alan Davis on the Tuesday Club, who 2 weeks ago called his podcast After Odegaard Gets the Ball and Does F All. That's not looking very good for you currently, Alan Davis. He said, I can't believe they're not starting Willock ahead of him. He's a big, I mean, I'm a Howe End fan. Alan Davis is like a Howe End. He doesn't believe anybody from Howe End shouldn't be starting for Arsenal weekly. He still thinks we should be playing Eddie and Kerr up top, Reece Nelson on the wing, Joe Willock on the right.
Neither are there anymore.
Yeah, flipping and Lansbury in the centre of the park. Get out of here, Alan, mate. Go do a flipping
great goal.
Stand-up.
To be fair, great goal from Eddie. Have to give it.
Yeah,
you
were there live. Great goal from Eddie.
Yeah. Fantastic to see Balogun back in the under 23s. Arteta said at the end of the game, considering putting him back into the under 18s to get him some real experience. Unbelievable stuff. I don't know how we convinced him of that contract.
I still want Martinelli to play. Come on, Arteta, stop playing. When you bring him on, don't put him on the right, stick him on the left.
He's absolutely done Balogun over like a kipper because he sat him down and gone, you're give it a year, mate. You'll be starting for us. And he's only gone and put Eddie Nketiah, who can speak to anyone in 2 months, back in ahead of him. And Balogun's gone on plan more for the under 23s now. Got 4 years left on this contract. We're getting some money for you, mate, aren't we? So he's done quite well there, because fair play to you, mate. You don't care one bit about him, do you? Then he comes out and says, well, Eddie Nketiah is playing because he trains much harder than other people around him. I'm not mentioning any names, guys. God, but Pep Balogun has no idea what's going on. Fair play, Mikel. Yeah, you are ruthless, you little authoritarian. But if he turns it around, I will eat
this Lopez kid looks different gravy as well.
Yeah, I saw that finish, Joel. He's left back, is he?
I have no idea, but he looks good.
He's the left back. He's the left back, but he's really young. Yep. He'll come in behind Tavares. Well, if we can keep Tierney fit for a couple of games, that'd be nice. That's what I'm more worried about. Maybe this less work rate from Tierney means we can keep him playing
a little bit more. He didn't get cramp yesterday, so that's good.
Yeah. He's not bombing up 50 times anymore, is it?
It was warm as well yesterday. So,
Did you notice as well? You see, when we play well, did you notice some of the decisions were going our way where normally they wouldn't? And just even the luck where the ball was falling and it was coming to an Arsenal player rather than going to the opposition. You know, sometimes you create your own luck and you play well. It was an all-round, just almost a perfect performance. It really was.
Yeah, lovely, fantastic. Day. I don't think anyone was under an 8 out of 10 for me, to be honest. No. But there was certainly a few nines there. So yeah, fantastic. More of the same next week. We get more of that next week. We will win against Brighton. So let's see. But boys, up the Arsenal. Thank you for recording. We'll be back after Brighton. Trying to do this regularly again now, especially if we keep winning, of course. Let me figure out how to stop recording. Cheers, boys. Up the Arsenal.